The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, so Ashley Capaldi is here tomorrow evening. It is me, Ollie Slapp, the Cambridge Football Show midweek, as usual on a Wednesday. I'll make sure the schedule's up right for Steffi next time. In terms of tonight, though, we've got a lot coming up. All wins for United and Hiddleston on the weekend. Cambridge City drew, and there were wins as well for our women's side. Cambridge United women and City both winning on the weekend. In terms of United women, we'll be taking a look at how they've been getting on since returning from the winter break. We're talking to their defender, Abby Davies, and also I'll be talking to Cambridge City manager Tim Rapley as well. Got lots of great music as well on the way, keeping you coming till 7pm this evening. Also, we've got a special couple of interviews as well that a member of our Cambridge 105 sports team have done over the last few days. Tim Armitage spoke to Greg Taylor on Saturday after the Ewes win over Notts County. And moving on to a slightly different ball game, I spoke to Cambridge-based snooker player Neil Robertson yesterday at the Masters. We've got that press conference coming up after he defeated Mark Williams 6-3 yesterday afternoon. But first, we're talking Cambridge United, and we're talking Cambridge United women, and we're joined on the line by Abby Davies just after this. So it's time to talk Cambridge United women now, and women's football is very much back underway in Cambridgeshire after their winter break. United have made a great start to 2019 so far. They picked up a point against Actonian Ladies a couple of weeks ago, and on Saturday they defeated third place AFC Wimbledon 3-0 as well. To discuss all is United defender Abby Davies. Thanks for coming on the line, Abby.
Hiya.
Yeah, Abby, just let's talk about the season so far before we delve into the last couple of fixtures then. Sitting in ninth at a 12 in the league and going well in the League Cup as well, and obviously that big game against Cambridge City in the FA Cup didn't probably progress as far as you liked as well. Faced a tricky opponent in Oxford United. But in terms of the season as a whole, how would you sum it up? Probably just reaching the halfway point.
Yeah, I think we're doing very well at the moment. Unbeaten in 2019 so far, so good start to the year. Yeah, we started off the year quite well. And, unfortunately, what happened to Cambridge City, but we got beaten by Oxford United. So it was a good experience. So, yeah, not too bad.
And talk us through that start to the season, because we spoke to Kevin and Sean a lot at the start of the season, a couple of players as well, about United and how they were hoping to really kick on and start the season well. It didn't materialise, obviously picking up a point and a win in the first couple of games, but then stuttering a bit in the league. Do you think that was because you had a number of cup games sort of breaking up the momentum in the league, obviously not perhaps performing to as well as the talent suggested in the group?
Yeah, I think having that break between the league games for the cup games was quite a distraction, but I think now we're focusing back on the league, and then hopefully we'll just continue to win games and just go further up the league.
And in terms of your own form, Abby, obviously you joined from Histon in the summer and had a breakthrough season really in the first team, but in the development side as well, but now back in the first team. How would you assess your own form?
I think it's been quite a big step up for myself, because Histon are a couple of leagues below, so yeah, it's been a good learning experience, and I think Kevin and Sean are good coaches and develop players. Yeah, and we've seen quite a few developments, squads, girls come through to the first team, which is great to see. And yeah, I think we can only... good things can happen from here, I think.
Yeah, and what's it like playing in that back four with some really experienced defenders? Kayleigh Ann Burt, obviously, as well, a player who's been United side for a while and done really well. What's it like playing with those guys? And I guess you've got a decent relationship with them.
Yes, it's a good experience. I think I learned a lot from them, being communication, and with Kelly just playing in front of me. It's a good combination. She played for Tottenham, so, yeah, she's got a lot to give and a lot to offer. Yes, so it's good playing alongside, experienced players.
And you were brought back in for the game against Actonians a couple of weeks ago, Actonian Ladies. Your first game back after the winter break, how important was it to start 2019 well? As you said, obviously wanting to improve in the league, and picking up a point away from home is a great way of doing that.
Yeah, it's always tough coming back after Christmas, having that break. So, yeah, it's good to get a point. And, yeah, they were a good side. They put up a good fight, and we were lucky enough to score a goal. But, unfortunately, we did concede. So, yeah, we can only learn from that experience and take that forward, which we've done against Wimbledon. So, hopefully, we'll just continue this streak.
Yeah, let's talk about that win against AFC Wimbledon then. AFC Wimbledon third in the division before you played them. I think they've dropped down to around about sixth now, which shows you how tight it must be. But what a result it was. 3-0 against AFC Wimbledon. Your second game came back from Christmas, and now you picked up 4 out of 6.
Yeah, they were good sides. They had a couple of shots in the first 10 minutes, and I think we defended well as a unit. And, we were lucky enough to score. One by Jade and two by Molly, which is just great to see Molly get on the scoring board this year, and hopefully it'll continue for her.
Yeah, and I guess that backs up the point that was being made a lot at the start of the season about the quality in this side, that you've come up against a side that were fifth and third in the league, and you've got four points out of six, which shows there's clearly quality in this side, and hopefully now you'll be able to show that in more weeks to come.
Yeah, hopefully we'll just continue scoring and defending well as a team.
And in terms of, like, you started the season in a similar way, drawing against Wimbledon, then picking up a 3-0 victory against Leyton Orient. But then you follow that up with no winning four in the league. So the important thing now going forward is to make sure that you really do continue this run and don't let this good start you've made to 2019 slip.
So I think, you know, it's just about being compact and applying pressure early doors so we don't concede, which is our ultimate aim. So, yeah, just continue it going forward.
And what's it like being in this league table? Because it's very tight. You're 9th out of 12, but Actonians in 4th have lost two more games than yourself. So, and you've got a lot of games in hand. You've only played, I think, 8 or 9 games. So, really, when a lot of teams were halfway through their season a few weeks back, you'd only played 7. So, a third of your way through your season, effectively. So, a lot of games in hand in a very tight league is a promising position.
Yeah, I think in one hand it's quite a good advantage not playing as many games as the other teams, so we can see how well we can progress and, you know, create a plan, because our plan is to come in the top three, and hopefully we will achieve that if we continue winning. So, yeah.
And moving to matters slightly away from the league, the County Cup semi-final too. You've got a chance for another Cambridge City derby if you get through the semi-final to play City in the final. So another mouth-watering prospect there.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, we'll just have to take that when it comes, and just, I'm sure we can beat them again. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
And what's the rivalry been like with City over this last year? I imagine it's intensified quite a bit, because you must know some of the girls from City quite well, and they must know you relatively well, because a lot of players have played for either clubs. How has the relationship, I guess, developed over the last few weeks and months since the whole pitchgate and incident around the Cambridge City game?
I suppose there's quite a bit of tension there, but I think just what's on the pitch that matters, and I think that we as a group of girls come across that, and we show that in our football and not what's been tweeted, and we show that through our football.
Yeah, precisely, let the football do the talking. And in terms of then your next league game, Leyton Orient at home, third, like Wimbledon now, they are third in the league, overtaken Wimbledon. So I guess you're trying to just duplicate that performance that you had against AFC Wimbledon. Obviously 3-0 would be nice, but I guess any win of the sort would be brilliant.
Yeah, Leyton Orient are a good side, and I'm sure they'll show a good performance to us, and we'll just hopefully continue what we did on Sunday and win the game. Get 3 points.
Yeah, and you've got them at home again at Mildenhall. So I guess a factor in trying to get higher up the league and finishing the top three, like you mentioned a minute ago, has got to be to try and make Mildenhall a fortress. A performance, I guess, like Wimbledon on Saturday helps that, and improving results at home will only add to that.
Yeah, I think we've got an advantage being at home because we know the pitch and it's got that little slope, so we can use that to our advantage and, just get a win and work well as a team.
And you obviously beat them 3-0 in the second game of the season, but I imagine they've probably come a long way since then, and so have yourselves. So how would Leyton Orient change? What are you expecting, perhaps a different side to the one you faced second game of the season?
I'm expecting a different side. They'll probably work well as a unit and, you know, have like little working in pairs and things like that through the channels. So yeah, it'll be a good experience playing against them. So yeah, forward to it.
Mm. And in terms of these first three games, the Acton Ladies, Wimbledon and now Orient, I spoke to Kevin a lot about these three games and really starting the season well. I guess a point and 3 points so far is brilliant. You'd love to get 7 out of 9, and I guess you'd probably take 5 out of 9 as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure we'll win this game and continue to move up in the league. Yeah, we're just moving forward like we have done so far in 2019. So it's a good start.
And just finally, you mentioned earlier about the relationship you have with Kelly Blanche, who of course plays in front of you down that right hand side. What is that like? Imagine overlapping her and trying to create attacking patterns with her, because she's obviously such a goal threat, scored many goals for United for a few years now, and obviously the skipper in the side, so leads by example. What is it like playing down the right hand side with her?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with her. She keeps me on my toes, which is a good thing. So yeah, I can just learn from her and just build on the partnership.
And I imagine having the skipper down that side as well really helps with you in moments throughout the game when it perhaps gets difficult, or in good moments throughout the game, talking to her and talking to the skipper down that right-hand side.
Yeah, she's a very talented player, so yeah, so is everyone else. And it's good to work alongside her and learn from her.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Abby. I wish you all the best for this weekend's game against Leighton. Hopefully the Ewes can pick up another 3 points and make it 7 out of a possible 9 in the start of 2019.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Ollie.
Cheers. Bye. Thank you, Abby. Abby Davies there of Cambridge United Women, talking about their recent form. The draw, 1-1 draw against Actonian Ladies in the first game back after the winter break, was a good one. The AFC Wimbledon victory 3-0 on Saturday, an even better result. What a win that was. They'll be hoping they can duplicate their performance in the second game of the season against Leighton Orient. Of course, they won that 3-0. Can they make it? 2 wins on the bounce, 3 games undefeated. That'll be 7 points out of 9 in 2019. Kevin Hoover and Sean Gregus and his group of players will be delighted with that return. I'm sure if you'd have said that before the Christmas break, you'll get 7 out of 9. They'd have bitten your hand off. Right, we're going to go to some music now before we head over to the travel desk around about 6:20.
Thought I'd end up with Shine, but it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky, now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married, and for Pete I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, 'cause he was an angel. One taught me love, one taught me patience, one taught me pain. Now I'm so amazing. I've loved and I've lost, that's not what I see. So look what I got, look what you taught me. Yeah, for that I say thank you. Next, next, thank you. Next, next, thank you. Next, I'm so grateful for my ex. Thank you. Next, next, thank you. Next, next, thank you. Spend more time with my friends. I ain't worried about nothing. Plus I met someone else. We having better discussions. I know they say I move on too fast, but this one gon' last. 'Cause her name is Ari, and I'm so good with that. So good with she that. Taught me love. She taught me patience. How she handles pain. That's amazing. I've loved and I lost, but that's not what. She grew from the drama. Only wanna do it once real bad. Go make that last. God forbid something happens, at least that song is a smash. And got so much love, got so much patience. Learned from the pain. Turned out amazing. That's not what I see. Look what I found.
Friday night, a million years ago, when the world was cold. We were lonely satellites with nowhere left to go. When we said hello, call it gravity, or is it history? Where'd he go? Where did you go? He started on a Friday night. We were running riot, we were flying high, searching for the time of our lives. Everywhere we go, but never going home. And every tear we ever cried keeps the rivers of our lives flowing back to me, flowing back to me. And every thought we ever had, every word we ever said's coming back to me. And you know, baby, when the lights go out, we'll be dancing. Even when the sky falls down, we'll be dancing. Never running out of time, everlasting. 'Cause we're all stars when we're dancing. Baby, when the lights go out, we'll be dancing. Even when the sky falls down, we'll be dancing. Never running out of time, everlasting. 'Cause we're all stars when we're dancing. Driving near the fallen town, throws me every time, trying to read the signs. I wonder what you think it now, when it's late at night. Do you realize that every song that made us cry made the voices of our lives sing in harmony, sing in harmony. And every thought we ever had, every word we ever said is coming back to me. Oh,
and you know, baby, when the lights go out, we'll be dancing. Sky falls down, we'll be dancing. Never running out of time, everlasting. 'Cause we're all stars when we're dancing.
On Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yes, you listen to the Cambridgeshire Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack, and it's just before 6:30 this evening. We're talking Cambridge City ladies now, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by manager Tim Rupley on the line. Thanks for coming on, Tim.
Hi, Ollie. No problem.
Yeah, Tim, just give the listeners a brief overview of the season so far. Sitting second in the league on played 11 with 31 points. Of course, have four games in hand on top of the league. Alk United Women, so a chance to move to the top there of the Eastern Region's Women's Football League Premier Division. So, Tim, in terms of the season so far, I guess you couldn't really ask for anything better. Played well in the league and won 10 and only drawn one, so you're undefeated.
That's right, yeah. It's actually our last game of the season against Royston. We dropped our first points of the season. It was quite an entertaining 4-4 draw. We did score very late on. I think almost the last kick of the game, we managed to scramble a point. So we're very pleased to start the first half of the season undefeated. And yeah, looking in a very healthy position at the moment in the league. Obviously, as you say, got a few games in hand over Acle. But probably Peterborough, Northern Star and Royston look to be our closest rivals now because they've got quite a few games in hand on Acle as well.
Yeah, and in terms of your start post-winter break then, post-going away for Christmas, an 11-1 win versus Haringey Borough, bottom of the division, an 8-1 victory over Hutton as well in the League Cup, so a perfect way to start 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. Haringey's, they've gone through a bit of a tough time. They're not certainly not the strongest team in the league. And we played pretty well over there. Probably could have been a few more, if the truth be told. I don't think they had a regular goalkeeper in on that occasion, so it was a bit tough for them. And then, yeah, it was a good performance against Hutton. We started off the game really well. Probably should have been a few more goals up, but we scored early and then let them back in the game with a penalty that they scored. But our second half performance was very good. And we scored some good goals, so that was very nice to get through the next round of the Cup.
Mm. And especially in the league, the 11-1 win over Haringey Borough, do you think that was vital to start well and in the manner you did as well? Because it sends a message to the rest of your opponents in the league that you do mean business. You know, you came back off the Christmas break and you mean as you carry on, really.
Yeah, definitely. I actually said that to the ladies before the game started. We obviously dropped points in our last game, but we wanted to get right back on it again. First and foremost, get the 3 points, but it'd be good if we could get a good score behind us as well, because you never know, it's a tight league and at the end of it, it could go down to goal difference potentially, so it is important that you take those games seriously and get the most that you possibly can out of them. So yeah, please to get the goals as well, for sure.
And through to the League Cup quarter final as well after that 8-1 victory over Hutton. I guess another chance to win silverware. I guess your main priority will be the league, of course, but any chance you get to compete for a trophy, I guess you will do.
Yeah, it will be. We got knocked out sort of a little bit earlier on last year. I think it was against Bedford, but we did get to the cup final in our first year. So when we were playing in the Eastern Region Division One, we did very well to get to the cup final in our first year. Didn't quite go away in the final. We actually lost to Haringey. So that was
how things have changed.
It's quite nice to get a win after they beat us in the cup final. But certainly, it would be good to get through to the final of the League Cup. St Ives, obviously local team, did very well on Sunday. They beat Acle, who were the holders. Royston went out because they played Peterborough and Northern Star. So some of the sort of top teams, if you like, have been knocked out of the competition. So I'd like to think that we could give it a very good go and possibly go one better than we did a few years ago.
Hopefully so. And before we get on to what's coming up in terms of league and cup fixtures, let's just talk about one lady material. Erin Davies has been in terrific form, 16 goals this season, has scored another brace on the weekend. She's been in a magnificent form.
Yes, she has. Erin signed for us this year, played for Royston last year, someone we were very keen to get over. She'd actually played centre-back for Royston, but I personally thought she was much better in a midfield position.
Like Max York for Histon then, scoring loads of goals.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, Erin's done really well, Seth's doing well, very good player, as I say. A little bit disappointing, we are probably going to lose her next season because she's recently confirmed that she's got a scholarship in the States, which is fantastic for her. We wish her the best of luck, but yeah, she'll be a miss next season, but we've still got quite a few games to go this year, so I'm sure she'll help us out with a few more goals.
Yeah, and how do you go about replacing someone of that ilk, really? I mean, congratulations firstly to Erin Davies getting a scholarship over in America, but obviously goals possibly might be hard to come by. I mean, Laura Mills is next on the list with 15, and then Isabella Simmons with 11. So will you be looking then to bring a direct replacement in, or do you feel the other two ladies I've mentioned can sort of fill her boots?
I think we've got goals all throughout the team, in my opinion. I think we've got 50 goals now in the league, and they come from a variety of sources. So, yes, we've got Millsy that obviously was doing very well at the start of the season, scoring lots of goals. We've got Shannon Shaw that came from March. He's also chipped in as well. And obviously we've got Bella Simmons, who's top goal scorer, and Carla as well, Carla Penny. So we have got, and Charlotte, of course, Charlotte Gillies, that plays on the right-hand side. So we have got a lot of goals from different parts of the pitch. But, yeah, losing someone that scores you a few goals, you do need to try and replace them. We've got a very good youth set-up at City, and what is really quite nice at the moment, we've got a couple of the under-16 girls who have turned 16, so they are now starting to play much more of a role with the ladies. They train with us anyway, but we've now got Kerry Fly, who's played a couple of times for the first team. Also, Freya Standing, she's been playing for the development the last few games, and she's hit the ground running and scored some goals already. So it's nice if we can promote from within the club, but you know, we have to understand it's quite a step up going from under 16 football and then playing in the Eastern Region Division 1 or Premier, you know, just from the physical side of it. So you can introduce a few at a time, but you certainly couldn't introduce a sort of a whole team into women's football. That's too much of a stretch, but we're very pleased with some of the players that we've got coming through.
15 goal scorers out of a squad of 23 is a remarkable effort. Then, in terms of those young players, then is it something you're looking to do this year whilst the first team are performing so well at the top of the division? Try and blood a few in now, or is that going to be difficult to try and find a balance, because obviously it is going to be quite tight at the top come the end of the season, and you want to really try and ensure that you get promotion and ensure that you get top spot? How do you strike that balance between giving some younger players an opportunity?
Yeah, I think first of all they have to be, you know, strong enough and good enough to be picked for the first team, and the ones that we have done that with have certainly shown that they are capable, more than capable on occasion. So it is a bit of a balance. I think the natural route is for them to play in the development team first, that play in the S-Tech just to get used to women's football, which, as I say, is different to playing under-16s. But they do train with us regularly, so they're quite used to the style of play and what we want them to do. And when they get their opportunity, you know, they're very keen, as you might imagine, they're very enthusiastic and want to impress. So that's really good from our point of view. And as I say, it's been a really positive experience so far this year with the ones that have. And we've got other players at under 15 level. Also, we can't wait for them to turn 16, so we can see what they're all about as well.
So in terms of the league and the fixtures coming up, you currently sit second, but I mentioned earlier, obviously, you have those four games in hand on top spot. Has your mentality changed slightly, obviously, because a few games ago or a few weeks ago prior to Christmas you were sitting top spot, because you fell behind in games, you're now sitting second. Does that affect the group mentally at all, despite having the games in hand, sort of having to chase a bit as well?
I think it's quite difficult chasing if the team in front of you is winning week in, week out. I think what we're quite lucky with is we've got four games in hand but only 3 points behind. We are the only team actually playing in the league this week, because there's various cup competitions for the other teams in the league. So if we can get a victory against Sudbury, who we play on Sunday, that would actually put us top of the league. I'd much rather be at the top, Ollie, than chasing, but it would be nice to be top of the league with three games in hand, that's for sure. But as I say earlier on, Peterborough and Royston are certainly not far behind. Peterborough are just 3 points behind us with the same games. We did actually play them first game of the season and beat them, so that was obviously a very good victory over there, because they've been very, very strong since.
And do you think the fact you're undefeated as well, still haven't lost a game with I guess over halfway of the season just gone, does that, obviously it massively favours you going into games, and does that mean that potentially all the teams you play are going to be slightly more reserved, sit on the back foot perhaps against you, so that means that you're the team who's going to constantly be have to go out, take the game to the opposition and be on the front foot all the time?
I'm not sure that the teams drop off us or take a step back. I think they respect us and we respect all the teams that we play, but I do feel as though we are up there to be shot at, because we are undefeated. So I think it gives the other teams that we play a bit of extra motivation to see if they can beat us and obviously close the gap or be the first team to win against the City Ladies. And certainly when we played Royston, I think it was the 16th of December, I think it was our last game, you know, they were very, very motivated Extremely disappointed when we did manage to get that last minute equaliser, that's for sure. So I think most teams do raise their game against us because they know that we are undefeated. Clearly they've got the same objective as wanting to win the league as much as we do.
Yeah, and then talk about the next couple of games. And like you mentioned, AFC Sudbury this weekend, followed by AFC Dunstable the weekend after. Second bottom and third bottom, respectively. So a real chance these next couple of games, I guess, mentally going into it, you should win the games. And that's where the trickiness comes into it. Obviously, that banana skin, potentially. But I'm sure you'll admit as well that the main challenge of your side going forward is no matter of ability sitting second in the league. It's probably more mentally with complacency, having gone undefeated, and therefore these games against Sudbury and Dunstable pose a different threat to the likes against Peterborough and Royston.
They do, yeah. They're, you know, each game has its own challenge for different reasons. When you are playing teams that are a little bit lower down, you've certainly got to go in with the right attitude and the right mentality, for sure, to first and foremost get the 3 points. That's what you need to do. And you need to sort of hit certain levels. I always say to the ladies that, you know, we play at our level, not at other people's, and we need to try and hit that and maintain that all the time. I've been, you know, really, really pleased, and chuffed, as you might imagine, with how we've performed so far, with the number of points on the board. But, you know, there's no point doing all the hard work pre-season and up to Christmas and then taking your foot off the gas. You've got to keep it going all the way. We've got some tough games after the two you just mentioned. We've still got to play the likes of Peterborough, Royston, Wyndham, Bedford. So they're certainly no gimmies there. So it is important that we pick up points as quickly as we can. And I'm sure that's what we'll be aiming to do in the next 2 weeks.
And just finally, Tim, on a wider basis, the County Cup semis, as well as the League Cup and the League, there's three competitions there, which means there's a possibility of doing the treble. I imagine if I asked you, do you think your side, can you probably say you take each game as it comes, but do you think the side is talented enough, and do you think they have the capability this season of winning the treble?
Capable, absolutely, yes we are. It's quite a tall order to play that many games and to keep winning. Of course, playing Cambridge United potentially in the final, not suggesting for one second we will get to our semi-final automatically, but if we were to, I think Cambridge United have got quite a tough game, actually. I think they've got St Ives to play in their semi. Of course, playing someone like that is extremely tough and will be difficult to do. But it's a nice position to be in, I won't lie. And I think that's a good motivation for everybody at the club to try and do that, try and achieve that. We've got our development side who are hopefully going for promotion this year from the S-Tech. They're doing pretty well. They've got a couple of cup competitions to play in as well. So if I'm looking at it from a holistic point of view, the whole club is in a very, very good position, and it would be lovely to put some silverware on the table at the end of the year, for sure.
Yeah, it would be great to see. It'd be great to see one trophy with County Ladies. It'd be even better to see two and three. But thanks for coming on, Tim, and I wish you all the best this weekend as you get back to or continuing your league action as well.
Thanks, Ollie. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye. Tim Rapley there talking as Cambridge City Ladies manager. And they're going really well. 10 wins, 1 draw, undefeated in the league so far. A win post-Christmas, 11-1 against Haringey Borough in the league, and then 8-1 against Hutton in the League Cup. Blimey, it's 19 goals and 2 conceded in 2 games. Of course, this weekend they're up against AFC Sudbury, who sits second bottom in the Eastern Region's Premier Division, and then followed up by AFC Dunstable the following week, third bottom. So 2 winnable games, but as we just said, no game is easy. Will they drop points? Will complacency set in? Speaking to Tim there, I don't think it will. Anyway, coming up after the travel, we'll be here with some more music from Imagine Dragons, and also be having a listen to a couple of interviews that our sports team have picked up over the last few days.
The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
You're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek live on Cambridge 105 Radio from Gwydir Street. I'm Ollie Slack. We've got around about 15 minutes left of today's show. We've got a couple of interviews for you now that our sports team have gathered around the country over the last few days. First up is sticking with football for now, as Cambridge United defeated Notts County 1-0 on the weekend at Meadow Lane. What a win that was. I was there with the crowd at Meadow Lane. What a victory it was. What an atmosphere as well. And our resident Cambridge United reporter Tim Armitage hopped over to the press area after the game, and of course, as well as getting the thoughts of Colin Coldwell, he also managed to catch Greg Taylor, the goal scorer, for a quick word as well. This is what he had to say.
So, Greg, it's a bottom-of-the-table clash. It's always going to be a nervy and tense affair. 1,600 fans came down. Everybody's going to go away happy today.
Yep, I'd like to think they would. I mean, we've come away from home. We've got a clean sheet. We've got three points away. So, yeah, we've ticked a lot of boxes today.
Yeah, I think that's true. And taking the lead and then defending the lead, probably not playing as well as you'd want to in the second half, but digging in and really putting in a performance that brings back those 3 points.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we'd obviously like to come out second half and play our football and have a lot of the possession, but sometimes you're not going to get it that way. And they came out a second half, but I think it was credit to us as a whole 11 defensive unit that we all dug in and saw the game out.
And it's starting to become a habit scoring now, although not quite as impressive as some of the previous goals you scored, but a very good header.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted with it. I'm just happy to get on the score sheet and hopefully just keep ticking them off. And I said at the start of the season I wanted to help out and chip in with the goals, so I'm happy to do that.
And I think the important thing is, as I say, the clean sheet is really counts. And yourself and George obviously had a partnership at the start of the season, and then for various reasons that split up. It's come back and it's starting to look really good again.
Yeah, George has come in and he's done very, very well, and that's two clean sheets. So we're both delighted with it. We're delighted as it is a back unit, and hopefully we can carry that on into Saturday.
And I guess, I mean, you can't underestimate what the 3 points mean to the team and to the club as a whole.
Oh, it's huge. I think when you see this fixture, you're looking at it and it's a massive fixture. There's a lot to play for, and we need to come out on the right side of games like this. So that's one ticked off, and we've got a few more coming up in and around us that, like I say, we need to come out on the right side. But today's win was massive.
Greggy T speaking to Tim Armitage there, formerly Greg Taylor, but of course known as Hughes fans. As Greggy T, what a win it was. What a header as well to clinch the victory for United. He always speaks well and always performs well, to be fair to him as well. And Northampton visit the Abbey this weekend. Hopefully it'll be as rocking as the away stand was at Notts County was last Saturday. If it is, and if United win, then they'll go 11 points, hoping to be further, sorry, not 11 points, that's depending on Notts County result, but further ahead of the drop zone. Another important game against Northampton this weekend, another local derby as well. Anyway, moving to a slightly different ball game now, and I was privileged enough to spend the day at the Dapperbet Masters yesterday at the Alexandra Palace, working for Cambridge 105 Radio, and spoke to Neil Robertson after the game. Following him as a Cambridgeshire-based snooker player, he took on reigning world champ Mark Williams. He trailed 3-1 at the interval, but came back and steamrolled five straight frames to take the match 6-3. He spoke to a lot of media people who were there. Media people, is that the correct term? Anyway, he spoke to a lot of people there in the press conference after his victory, and this was his press conference in full.
Neil, congratulations. That was a funny old match, wasn't it? I mean, early on he seemed to win all the close frames, and then you really turned it around.
Yeah, it was just first session I was just probably looking at a couple of shots for a little bit too long, and funnily enough they were the balls I missed. So usually, you know, the first shot you see is always, is 99% of the time it's the right shot, and it was just yeah, so I saw the stats at half time and I knew I'd be somewhere around mid-20s in the shot times, and then I just had to pick up the pace. It was simple as that, you know. I just had to force myself to play the way I do in practice in terms of the tempo and everything, and that's what I did. And then I got going, and then, you know, I felt absolutely fantastic afterwards, and I think it was a huge clearance to go 3-2 down, I think it was. 3-1. Sorry?
3-1 down.
No, to get it back to 3-2 instead of 4-1. Oh, yeah, when he's missed the brown.
Yeah. When you got it on the 59, on the black.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Jen. So, yeah, that was that was the moment in the match that really sort of, like, got me going, and played really well after that.
Was that really frustrating, though, that sort of opening session of frames?
No, not so much frustrating. It's just I knew what I had to do. Obviously, I could still play well and lose, because at 3-1 down, obviously, I've got to beat him 5-2 from there, and which isn't easy, obviously, against someone like Mark Williams. And it was just as simple as that. You know, I think the quicker I play, the better my results are, and you just need to make that happen, yeah.
Were you not quite sure what to expect from Mark? Because coming into this, obviously he's been on numerous holidays. He hasn't really been putting the work in. But you know full well that he could just turn up and play well. He could come up and maybe play as poorly as he suggested he did at times in the match.
Yeah, I was playing the Championship League on New Year's Day, and he was on a cruise somewhere, I think.
So, the Caribbean.
Yeah, getting hammered. So nah, he said after he won the world title, he's going to enjoy it as much as possible. And he's done that, so good on him. I was, you know, everyone on tour was delighted for him. You know, he's a very nice laid back guy away from the tour, and so, you know, all credit to him. He can do whatever he wants, you know. So although he was on Twitter a couple of days ago saying he knocked in 9 centuries in a row, so you know, that was like, oh geez, great, you know, apparently. So I didn't know what to expect, but you know, there you go.
But you're through, and that's the main thing. And obviously, we've seen you play really well at times this season. You've obviously won a tournament as well, and obviously a big target for you to do well here.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, it was really sort of frustrating coming here last year, not being in the tournament. Especially being inside the top 16, but not in the right time after the UK. So yeah, it was hard to miss out, and especially this year, you know, like the interaction, like, you know, Rob and that with the crowd and all the TV screens as well, which
that's
is
not
also
a distraction than those TV screens.
No, not at all. No, it's fantastic for the audience. They can actually see a different sort of perspective, you know, because not all the views are great. So this year I would have been absolutely devastated. So even to lose today, you know, you want to be part of tournaments like this with a one table setup, because you know, it's what you play for, and to beat the world champion, you know, today was a huge step in the right direction.
You certainly don't want to be in the media ranks anytime soon, do you?
No. Although you miss out on a few good stories with Jimmy and the boys, so.
I'm sure you do. Probably not fit for a broadcast. And now going into the next round, of course, Sean Murphy or Barry Hawkins. Just the thoughts on Sean, if it's him.
He's come into some, you know, incredible form. I think after the UK, he kind of made his mind up. He just wants to go back to being all-out attack. And, he played amazing stuff in Scotland. Very good to watch. And you know what you get with Barry. He's sort of like 8-9 out of 10 in every area of the game. So, both world-class players, and really looking forward to it.
But it's about what you do, I guess, and, you know, you can look what your opponent's doing. It's about focusing on yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, any of the players in this tournament can take a match away from you. There's nothing you can do about that. All you can do is focus on your own game and play the shots that, you know, you see are right and which suit you. So that's just what it boils down to, really.
Okay. Neil, you took up your 10-minute option of practicing on the match table. Is that something you will do whenever it's available?
Yeah, it's something that many players have talked about for years. About for me personally, I didn't do it to have like a 5-10 minutes actual like practice, lots of shots. I just wanted like 11-12 shots to just roll the balls to see where to see where the balls were rolling along the cushions, to see like from the pink spot if it was pulling in or pulling out and into the bolt pockets, dead weight as well. It was just to see where the table's rolling, because it's pretty hard to get it 100% level. The players don't mind if it's rolling one way or the other, just at least so we know. Because the worst thing is that, you know, you could be midway through the match and then you've got a tricky shot into the middle that you have to roll it in dead weight, and you don't know if it's going to pull left or a little bit right. And so, it's a great idea by Wood Snooker to let the players do that. They should let them do it for all matches, even in the qualifiers and things. Just 6-7 shots just to see what the table's doing.
Some more technical stuff than actually getting on and just
just seeing how the table's playing. If it's rolling off an inch, then you don't mind that. You can allow for that. But if you don't know what it's doing, then it can be disastrous at times. Yeah.
And where do you assess your game as a whole at the moment, and how confident are you that you can have a good run here this
week? Playing really well, practicing really hard. Took up the opportunity to play in the Championship League on the 1st of January. Make sure that I got my cue out early for this. So I've done, preparation-wise, I've done absolutely everything right. And, I feel as though someone's going to have to play really well to beat me.
Just finally, Neil. In terms of your centre in the match to make it 3-0, do you think that's a real, obviously, big turning point, because it could go then 4-2 to Williams or 3-3, and then you'd the mentions with yourself?
Because it happened pretty quickly. So I think from the moment I potted the black to then being 3-0 was maybe in the space of 7 or 8 minutes, and that that can put anyone under pressure. So that was what I was talking about, second half of the matches, to pick up the tempo when I'm in the balls and to score heavily, score freely, and in good time, because it puts you under pressure when you're playing someone who's winning frames in 5-6 minutes.
And just finally, this tournament as a whole, obviously, like the last couple of years, making yourself way back up to the top again, is this important psychologically to be back in the top 16 and then doing well in this tournament as well?
Yeah, because I think, you know, this tournament is one of the showcase events of the season. It's something that the public all tune in for, you know, this and the World Championships and the UK's. So, yeah, it's a chance for myself to maybe show people that maybe were doubting me or something that, you know, I'm still a top player in the game. So, yeah, I'm not really sort of out to prove anyone right or wrong. I just try to, you know, I'm just desperate to win these sort of events. So that's just what it boils down to, really.
Neil Robertson there talking to a lot of us at the press conference yesterday, led by BBC Radio 5 Live, and then asking a few questions at the end. But he did win. He won 6-3 against Mark Williams, and he is back in action on Friday evening at 7 p.m. in the quarterfinals. And we'll be covering that on Cambridge 105 Radio as usual. But in terms of what's coming up next, it's Tim Willett with the new music generator. I'll be back on Saturday with a Cambridgeshire Football Show preview, looking ahead to all your weekend's football fixtures. I'm Ollie Slack. See you later. Goodbye.
Cambridge 105 Radio.